morning, Laguna Beach. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is the new and improved OC Caravan. And I'm in the studio this morning. We got a lean crew this morning, and I'm kind of digging it, I'll have to be honest. My co-host this morning, my partner, my lover, my whatever you want to call you.
He's a tiger.
I'm joking. Settle down. He's a tiger. Nobody's listening anyway. It's Jim Bastian, of course.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Jim.
Welcome back. You know, I missed you last week. You made me like run this thing solo.
You know, and you did a phenomenal job.
I thought I might have taken it off the rails a little bit. I was a little concerned.
What do you mean off the rails?
I don't know.
Did a great job.
Yeah, I heard nothing but positive feedback. In fact, I think I got a few emails that said, Scott, we don't even need you anymore. One of them came from April.
Oh, boy. She's always trying to be divisive. She's that, you know.
I just try to be honest.
We're going to nickname her the Wedge.
You're just so cool, Jim.
So also in the background there, you can hear engineer, music director, April Johnson.
Yo, what's up, Laguna Beach?
I think she's a little tipsy this morning.
I feel awesome.
We were talking about certain things before, right?
We were talking about bringing in some things in the near future.
Yeah, I hate a hangover, so I just went straight through.
Good idea.
And then that other voice over there is our healthy lifestyle reporter, Miss Jill Harvey. Good morning, Jill.
Yo, yo.
Nice dichotomy from April to Jill. Healthy lifestyle, not so healthy.
Not so healthy.
You know what's funny? Both these young ladies are extremely healthy adults.
Awesome. Yeah.
They work out hard. They eat healthy. You know, and you're pretty healthy now these days, too. Yeah.
So yeah, Jim, it's a battle. Feel this.
Oh, the guns.
For the listeners, you don't want to know what she had.
Yeah, bicep. The bicep curl for her. Double bicep pose.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you on the cream or the clear?
What?
Mm-hmm.
You don't take any supplements, though, right?
I don't take anything, no.
Are you on the mic? I cannot hear. So
I'm on the mic.
There it is. Okay.
You just can't hear.
Yeah. I can't hear either.
No supplements for you either, Jill, right?
No, nothing.
There it is.
Except vitamins. No HGH. No, you know. Can you tell I do steroids?
No. Yeah.
You're huge.
No.
Completely, I know.
Completely natural, healthy individuals. A testament to really that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Jim, what's going on, man? What's happening with you this morning? You were running a little behind schedule.
Well,
that's, of course, a $100 fine.
Yeah, exactly. I had to stop at Starbucks, and I stopped at a different Starbucks this morning because I'm always trying to see which Starbucks between my house and here.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a different one, the one in Mission Viejo off of Oso and the freeway there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Uh-oh.
Too crowded?
Well, no, it wasn't crowded. I walked in. There was one guy in front of me, and he brings out three, like, water bottles that go in a bicycle, you know, the...
Right.
And he's asking them to fill it up for him.
With coffee?
With water.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And it's like, there's a bathroom over there. Go do it yourself. And so he's opening his bottles, and he's setting them up on the counter, and he's ordering a coffee and a sandwich. And I'm like, okay, this was supposed to be quick in and out.
Right.
And then they've got all that construction going on Oso Parkway, so I had to go down like a half mile, make a U-turn, come back. I always have an excuse. Isn't it?
Always an excuse for being late.
Yeah, but I'm excited. Today's my youngest son's 13th birthday.
Hey.
What's his name?
John.
Happy
Reese
birthday,
Bastian. Yes.
John.
Yeah, so he turns 13 today, which makes me feel extremely old. We were talking about it before. I've got an 18-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 13-year-old now. And it just seems like yesterday that they were little under fives.
Yeah.
But here we are. So, yeah, tonight we have a big birthday party. He's invited 20 or so of his friends to go to one of those trampoline places called Big Air over in Laguna Hills.
Uh-huh.
So have all the parents sign their waivers and releases so they don't sue me, and then we'll let the kids go crazy for 2 hours.
Is that one of those places you can play basketball or volleyball?
Right.
Or
slam
on the trampoline, slam ball.
Everything. I guess tonight they have like some crazy neon night where they turn the lights off and they make everything fluorescent. And
I'm
so
going.
Can we
kids are kind of stuck. Yeah, sure. Show up. You know, may as well throw some more on there. I'm paying for 25 kids as it is. We may...
What a good
couple more logs on the fire won't hurt.
A couple bottles of wine for the adults.
Well, I was talking to my wife on my way over. I'm like, you know, the parents are dropping these kids off. This is like a normal place where you can drop a kid off and they can be there for 2 hours. Like, why can't we leave?
Yeah.
I mean, let the kids jump and then we'll go grab dinner.
Right.
Give somebody our cell phone in case someone breaks an arm and we'll be right back. So she's debating that right now.
Yeah, well, that's a good call.
Go for it.
Yeah, we'll see if any of the parents are listening. I'll be there the whole time, and we'll be supervising, but we may slip out.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then how many hours will they be there playing? I mean,
it's 2 hours, apparently, 7:30 to 9:30.
Gotcha.
Feed them dinner from 7 to 7:30. You know, the healthy pizza and soda.
Mm-hmm. That's very healthy. Gets them
perfect.
All jacked up.
It does, yeah.
They get bigger air.
Get some Mountain Dew in you, some pepperoni pizza, and then they roll. Yeah, one of his friends is on my son's basketball team, this kid, and He's 12 years old. He hasn't turned 13 yet, but he's 6'3". I mean, he's giant.
Oh my
wow.
gosh.
And he's on my son's basketball team, which is a good thing.
That's a good thing.
But I'm curious to see this kid on the trampoline with these other kids.
Well, he'll dominate.
Yeah, my son's like 5'2", and most of his friends are that same height, but right. this kid just stands over them. So.
What grade are they in?
Seventh grade.
Seventh grade, so junior high school?
Yep.
And he's playing basketball on the seventh grade junior high school basketball team?
NJB.
What's NJB?
It's National Junior Basketball. It's a national, it's like Little League for basketball.
Gotcha, yeah.
So he's been doing that for a long time.
And his buddy who's 6'3", is center, I'm
yeah,
assuming?
Yeah, he is the center.
And he's a player?
He's actually just come into the game. He's from England, and he's actually very athletic for a big man.
Yeah.
So we're teaching him. We're trying to get him to, you know, learn the game, and every day he gets better, and it's been good.
And your son is a point guard, or?
He plays point and off guard.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of one of these crazy, all over the court, diving in the stands.
Kind of like a hustler type who's
completely.
A good defensive player
yep.
and yep. constantly
and he
going
shoots. He's and he's like his dad. He doesn't have a conscience, so he he like he's he, he just shoots and keeps shooting, and
yeah.
that's his deal. It's like shoot your way into a slump or out of a slump. It doesn't matter.
How were your basketball skills in college?
I was a decent little pickup player.
Were you?
Intramurals.
Yeah.
You know, I'd go play at the Wooden Center at UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I have a funny story about that. I tell the story, and it's horrible. I feel bad about it, but it is funny. So you play basketball, play pickup. You know, you got guys waiting to play, and I was playing on the court, and some of my buddies were waiting to play the next game. And this guy who's a point guard, I'm guarding him, and he keeps going to his right. He just never goes to his left. He's going to his right. He's going to his right. He never goes to his left hand. And in basketball, when you're guarding somebody like that, you're like, if you can't go left, I'm going to just take the left away, and I'm going to go right, and I'm going to steal the ball. So the guy comes down, and he's dribbling with his right hand, and I'm like, steal it. I go down the court, lay up, you know, score for us. He comes back down. He does it again. I steal it. I go down, and my buddies are like, dude, that's cold. I go, what? He's got no left. He's got no left. I'm not going to let it. He's like, ah. They're like, dude, that's cold. That's cold. I'm like, what? I look down. The guy doesn't have a left hand.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're kidding me.
True story.
Oh, he's my God. This,
but the funny thing was he was really good with his stump slapping the ball. And so yeah. I thought, I'm like, I didn't know.
That's funny.
And I'm like, oh,
you are
oh,
so mean.
So did you, you cut him a little slack after that?
Then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to
That's funny.
It was absolutely awful.
That's a funny story.
That was not expected.
I'm a bad man.
That
yeah.
was mean.
So what else did you do this week? You were telling me outside that you had some, I don't know, some charity
yeah,
function?
Yeah, no, not a, it was charity. From
what,
that.
It what was it?
The exact opposite of
what,
charity.
What was
Pure
it?
Capitalism. so there's an organization called the Association for Corporate Growth, ACG.
Right.
And they have an Orange County chapter. They have an LA chapter, chapters all around the country. Mostly private equity, banks, guys who try to do deals, mergers, acquisitions. So every year.
High-level finance?
Exactly. They have a... wine tasting event at the St. Regis.
Ah.
So it was just this past Tuesday, and my firm does a table. Firms come and sponsor, and then mm-hmm. they sponsor a table, and you feature your wine, and people go around and sample, and it's purely a networking event.
Hmm.
So we were there, and...
How was the wine?
Well, it was great. We actually try to have the best wine at the thing, because we've been going for about 6 or 7 years, and we noticed that in the first year we went, there weren't a lot of great wines. And you're spending somewhere up to $5,000 for the sponsorship. It's like, you know what? Let's pour some good wine.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always had a really good wine. This year we had a 2009 Napa Valley Silver Oak Cabernet, which was outstanding.
Ooh.
And then we had a 2012 Farniente Chardonnay,
oh.
which was solid. And so we had a lot of people at our table hanging out. we were very popular.
Do you yeah, prefer red or white yourself? Does it matter?
That particular red I love, and so I preferred that. But I had to be careful because... We were running out of it very quickly, and so I was actually drinking white that night because I was just trying to keep up the balance there.
Yeah, keep the reserve.
Yeah, so anyway, so that event goes on from like 5 until 9, and then invariably we go to the bar at the St. Regis and start smoking cigars and drinking scotch, which we did. So we were up very, very late, got home. But during the course of the evening, I was invited to go golfing at Pelican Hill the next day by a banker friend of mine and his boss and another guy. So it was like, you know, one of those midnight decisions. Well, what do I have going on tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
I can make that happen. And so I cured my hangover by playing golf at Pelican on Wednesday.
What a lifestyle you lead.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. kind of a tough week. But then I had to catch up on Thursday and
Poor
yesterday.
Poor baby.
I know.
Oh.
Yeah, I think, I mean.
You need a hug?
This is, I felt so bad too because on Thursday morning I had like 320 emails in my inbox. I mean, that was so
319
tough.
Are spam? Or
yeah, well, no. It was, a lot of them were substantive. And so, you know, I had to dig out.
You had to dig out.
Yeah.
But it
yeah.
was worth it.
It was fun.
How well did you play?
I played well. It was really funny. So I get out on the range, and I'm striping the ball. I'm playing awesome. I think I was still drunk. So I'm like, boom, boom. And then I get on the course, and I think the hangover hit.
Yeah. Oh.
And so the first nine was bad, probably as bad as I can play. And then the back nine, I turned it around, and I started playing really well.
Good for you.
Yeah, but this is typical. So on 18, on the north course, if you know it, it's incredible hole, and I hit a perfect, awesome long drive. I stick my approach shot to like 4 feet, and I mean, everyone's like, "Whoa!"
And then you three putt.
I two putt it, but I missed the birdie putt.
That's funny.
So, yeah,
Scott,
I had a tough week.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I worked at when I was probably 18 years old. I worked at a nursery over here in Costa Mesa, Takata Nursery. And on this beautiful property with all these plants and these koi ponds was Grandpa and Grandma Takata, who lived there on the premises. It was a great place for, you know, the Takata's grandparents to live. And Grandpa was this sort of really short, you know, Japanese guy, older gentleman who was a bonsai expert. So he'd always be out there tinkering in the bonsais and, you know, fixing the trees and stuff. But he loved golf. And if you wanted to kill time and not have to work, all you had to do was get Grandpa into a conversation about golf. And so he'd be walking around, "Grandpa, how was your golf game the other day?" And he would go through, first hole, no good. Second hole. And he'd go through all four, 18 holes. God. So you'd be there about a half hour just, you know, regaling Grandpa in a conversation. And so when Masako and Tom Takata kind of were walking around the property and saw that you weren't working, it was okay as long as you were keeping Grandpa entertained.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah.
That's
so
fun.
What were you going to ask?
I was going to say, I think Jim should invite all of us to one of these events, and maybe we could.
You don't want to be traveling around with a bunch of attorneys.
Nothing worse.
Not
just, you know,
okay,
one of the events we can broadcast live from one of these.
Oh,
events,
I guess
right?
We could do that.
The one tonight.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got one tonight?
Oh, no, the birthday.
I
want to
do that.
Oh,
that one.
April, you can come to Big Air.
I'm totally
excited. You probably fit in with these 13-year-old boys.
Exactly.
I mean, they're all most really
taller than you. I don't know what that meant, but awesome.
Yeah, that sounded bad. It's like, well, does that mean I'm a 13-year-old boy?
Yeah, I know.
Does that mean I'm into 13-year-old
awesome?
Boys?
No.
Does that mean I look like a 13-year-old boy?
I'm stepping away from this one.
I love 13-year-old boys.
Yes.
What?
April?
I probably think like a 13-year-old boy.
All right. Hey, by the way, as a reminder, OC Caravan is on Cox Channel 3 TV, 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon on Sundays, 240,000 cable subscribers in Orange County and Palos Verdes. This weekend is the show, our tribute to Hobie Alter. So if you get a chance to track us down, please do. You can also like us now on Facebook. Facebook.com/OC Caravan. What else is going on? Jim, there was something I wanted to talk to you about, this Mission Hospital.
Yeah.
And this donation of $10 million.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So those of you who don't know, I'm on the foundation, Mission Hospital Foundation Board of Directors, and we raise money for Mission Hospital. Mission Hospital has two campuses, Mission Viejo and here in Laguna Beach. Bill and Sue Gross.
Yeah.
Bill,
who we're going to try to get on.
Right. One of the founders of PIMCO, who recently left. An amazingly generous couple that does a lot of great things in the community. Generously donated $10 million to Mission Hospital, specifically for our Laguna Beach campus for the Emergency Services Department. And that was a long time in the making, but it finally came together at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. And all of our staff at the Hospital Foundation pulled that together, and with the help of some other people, and really excited about that, because leading into what is a real serious issue facing us here in South Orange County is the lack of emergency room availability here locally. And if you don't know, there's been an announcement that, well, not an announcement, but there's a very, very strong likelihood that San Clemente Memorial Hospital is going to be closing.
Oh.
So the only emergency rooms available from San Clemente North are going to be right here in Laguna Beach and Mission Viejo. And they're already impacted. And most days, if you go to the emergency room at Mission in Mission Viejo, they're on what's called diversion, which means unless you're there for a stroke, heart attack, or some trauma, they're going to divert you to another hospital. And so with all the population growth that's occurred down in San Clemente, not having a hospital there is going to be a really serious issue. So the fact that they've given a gift now that will help us enhance the service offerings at the Laguna Beach campus will certainly help us in Mission Viejo, and then provide at least a viable alternative for people, and especially in the coastal communities down here.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, it's a very generous gift, and it helped us a tremendous amount. We had a goal, and we still have a goal through the end of this fiscal year, and at June 30th, to raise $200 million. We're right at about $194 million, so we're just about $6 million shy. So we're
in a year?
To it. This has been an evolution campaign over the last several years.
Gotcha.
On the way to $500 million. But we've been doing amazing. There's a lot of great things going on in terms of reaching out to local businesses and corporations, and we've been working very, very closely with a number of businesses here to see if we can get them to continue the momentum and provide some more money here. We talked about this previously, but one of the other big initiatives at Laguna Beach is behavioral health and treatment of addiction. There's already amazing programs going on there on a daily basis, and we're in the middle of a seismic retrofit. And if you see the scaffolding on the hospital there, we're actually getting that place shored up. And then we're going to embark upon a $20 to $50 million capital improvement program there to build out a number of the floors that are currently empty to provide adolescent, pediatric, behavioral health services, continued services for addiction. Obviously, the emergency services department will be enhanced. And that place is going to become, in the very near future, a state-of-the-art facility that can handle all kinds of issues, but really focused on that behavioral health and chemical dependency.
So that's great stuff, man. So, that's great stuff. Of course, we had Ken McFarland on our show.
Yes.
Maybe a month ago or so, and he'll be coming up on Cox TV sometime in the next 30 days, I think.
Yeah, I think that's coming up.
Remember the date on that? Well, we'll announce it.
We have John Vallee next week and the week after, and then he's the week after that.
Yeah, so 3 weeks away. Yeah, so both great shows, by the way. Yeah. John Vallee, Ken McFarland, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so we had our annual board of directors meeting the other night, and there are just so many challenges right now in healthcare. It'll be interesting to see how we work through it. But the good news is that we at Mission seem to be well-positioned to be able to address those things. And we're looking at this whole closure in San Clemente as an opportunity for us to continue to deliver great services. So, for example, there's actually just newly opened it's like 7,000-square-foot medical facility staffed by two of our best doctors right in the Talega area. And then we're going to be doing a new facility in the Sendero Village, Rancho Mission Viejo, that's going on. And then we're looking at building a much bigger 75,000-square-foot facility in that village as it further develops over the next 5 to 10 years. Not a full-blown hospital, but definitely an acute care facility that will be able to handle things. Think of it as like an urgent care kind of on steroids, a bigger. Mm. But they're also doing a lot of wellness, alternative healing, things like that.
Cool.
They're incorporating all different aspects of medicine, both sort of traditional and in Eastern as well.
It's good to know that all this is going on in Orange County. You know, some of us just don't know unless you're involved with it. So it's good to hear
definitely.
That there's progress on that.
And you're obviously a good spokesperson for that organization, Jim. So I'm sure they appreciate your efforts and work. So.
I try to be.
Yeah, you are, man.
No, there's a great staff there. My job's easy. I work with a couple of great people there. Jennifer Jones has the corporate relations team there. Kathy Collins is like this chief development officer. She kind of runs the whole show. And they make my job really easy. I just get to kind of be up on the 10,000-foot level. They get down into the dirt.
Did I hear a rumor that you're also on the board of directors now for Lion's Heart?
Yeah. Terry Corwin, who you know, who's responsible for many things, including me being here, I guess, indirectly.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
She and her husband, Clay, invited me to be on the board of directors because they're elevating that organization, going to look out to get more grant money and try to expand the reach of that wonderful program, which, for those of you who don't know, is a service organization for teens, boys and girls, from 7th grade through 12th grade. My kids are all involved in that. My wife is one of the class coordinators, and she's been part of the leadership there. But it's just been an amazing organization that's grown from the time that I remember Terry telling me, yeah, I'm thinking about doing this thing with my son, and what do you think? And I was like, wow, that sounds amazing. And here we are, I guess it's been over 10 years later, and this organization's amazing. So we've got an impressive board assembled, and we're going to be doing some cool things there to try to expand that.
Of course, Terry was on the Katie Couric show, mm-hmm. I think it was about a year or two ago, and I think one of the magazines voted her one of the most successful or most influential women in Orange County. And
right.
Yeah, she's an incredible person, no doubt about
it. Yeah, she was on this show, obviously.
She was on this show
as well. 6-7 months ago.
Yep, and that aired a while back. So.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Very nice, Jim. You travel in interesting circles. You should bring your wife in sometime, too. She'd be fun to meet.
Yeah, no, she's today she's busy running the kids around.
Right.
Test prep courses and basketball practice, mm-hmm. and I'll get back and swoop up in
you,
the end.
You know, April's a bit of a basketball player. Is that true, April?
A bit.
Yeah, and Jill, we shot a couple of baskets the other day over at your place, the Renaissance.
Right.
And you got some skills.
I do.
So maybe we should go play two-on-two after this.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Or at least get a basketball team going, or at least go out and play 21 or horse or one of those.
So here's I'll do that with everyone if you all do yoga with me.
Okay.
Or spin, cycle.
Yeah,
cycle.
I love spin. I'm all around.
Do you like? Are you one of those like crazy Nazi spin instructors that screams at people?
No, we actually have fun. We have a lot of fun, and we're really encouraging. It's like a party in my class.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's not serious. It's not like so focused and depressed. It's
more
a party.
Carrot as opposed to stick.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Because I've been in classes where it's all stick.
No, you'd have fun. You'd have fun.
Absolutely. So, Jill, nice transition here. Oh. Healthy lifestyle reporter. What's going on, and what are we here to chat about this morning?
So we are here to chat about, first I have to say, last week we talked about cervical health, mm-hmm. right? And then in the news, I think they were listening because they came up with a term called tech neck. And it's kids who are on their devices. They're holding them toward their lap, and their head is pitched forward and down. And so they're finding that the younger generations, even those into their 20s are aging faster because of this downward head slope and gravitational pull, and they're getting they're getting wrinkles in their neck earlier, and they're getting cervical damage. So, you know, we need to come up with some device that can keep the head elevated and up. But on another note, so today we're talking about it's I guess it's a little more light, but I think for me it's kind of also a serious thing. Two habits that can contribute to your being unhealthy and overweight and out of shape.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So the first one, because I've observed this over the years, and the past week it's been more that I've observed this.
I'm going to bet you that you and I both exhibit
doing both.
It, yes.
I'm thinking. I was just. I'm waiting.
She
for
always
this.
Nails us. It's like, oh, yep, that's me.
So driving in my car, a habit I shouldn't do is look over into other people's cars to see what they're doing.
Hmm.
Lots of stuff. I think people think they're invisible.
Right.
Eating. I looked over and there was a guy shoving a handful of fries into his mouth, and you know, a woman
at 7:30 in the morning.
Not today, but in the past week, and there was a woman eating a donut, and so this whole drive-through eating in your car thing. Not that it's not okay once in a while, and you have
I
to
do it.
I did
it this morning.
Yeah, what'd you have?
I had a reduced fat turkey bacon sandwich from Starbucks that I get once a week.
That sounds relatively healthy.
It's I mean, she'll tell you the sodium is packed in there.
Yeah. Right.
It is egg whites. Right. It is
bacon though. Bacon.
No, reduced turkey bacon.
Turkey bacon.
Turkey bacon has apple. Turkey bacon, though. Very close to an apple.
That's
but it's very high in sodium. It's
It was. I was woofing it down.
And the bread, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But that's okay. You know, once a week.
It's once a week.
Not a problem. But there is actually, they did study, there are people who, it's an eating disorder and it's sad, but you know, you'll find them, they're not eating much at parties, they're not eating much when you're out at dinner, but they're the ones who will go through a drive-through. And there was a woman who confessed to this, and they let the cameras follow around, and they'll order like they're ordering for their family and go sit in a parking lot and eat it.
Mm.
But here's my issue. It's not that that's a disorder, that's something that needs help in therapy. But it's generally, if you have a habit of going through a drive-through, you know, you're not getting out of the car and walking, you're car, you know, instead of parking it and walking in, you're driving through, you're eating, there's no movement. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm kind of like saying, hey, let's stop that. Let's park the car at least if you're going to do fast food. Mm-hmm. Try and stay away from fast food.
Yeah, that's what I did this morning. I consciously got out of my car, went into the Starbucks, got...
You should do... Jim?
And got your low-fat turkey bacon.
I mean, I'm glad that there was a healthy spin on what I did this morning.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you one morning. You do traveling
lunches. I don't go the drive-thru that much.
Yeah, so traveling
probably parked in handicap, though, so you didn't have to walk so far.
I did not.
Yeah, right. April, do you do drive-thru?
No, I don't do drive-thru anything.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
But there are people who it is a constant habit. It's the after, you know, school. It's the evening dinner that's fast. So trying to find a way not to do that. So now we're on to one, though, that really irks
me. So is this one of the habits you were talking about we shouldn't be doing?
Right.
Going through the drive-thru.
And eating in your car.
Okay.
Yeah. Trying not to do that.
Right.
Mindful. Occasionally, again, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get that that's going to happen. I've done it, you know, occasionally coming back from a late flight and you're tired.
What could they possibly serve at a drive-thru that you would eat?
You know,
not
there's,
much.
There's some healthy drive-thru stuff you can get, though.
Yeah.
I mean, McDonald's has an egg white McMuffin thing.
Yeah, see,
but
I wouldn't.
Yeah, but that
part.
Whole McMuffin thing.
Yeah.
Like,
my issue is all the preservatives. I mean, this is mass quantities of food these fast food places are putting through, and so they have to be processed and preserved. But when I'll go to Carl's Jr., And one time they have a turkey burger and it was in lettuce. Oh, you just scrunched your nose on the turkey burger?
Did you like them?
It was okay. And then unfortunately, like a year later, they had that turkey meat recall, remember? And I got hit.
Oh,
I was at a Carl's Jr. game. I'm like, oh, my God, it was bad.
But what about El Pollo Loco?
Yeah, they're doing some better things.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's being smart. It's still, again, the more you can prepare on your own and the healthier and the more fresh that you can be organized with your week. Mm-hmm. But we have to get to my second habit.
This one, dying.
I think will annoy, it probably annoys all of you. So you're sitting in a parking lot. You're getting ready to go into a store, come out, and you see the person who... they're capable, they're physically able, and they leave their shopping cart. And the cart return is two slots away. And they couldn't walk that cart over to the cart return. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, again, these kind of habits. Like, if you're not disabled, if you're not physically challenged in any way, walk the cart back. You know, get the exercise. And I'd love to do, like, cart patrol in a parking lot.
Maybe we should do, like, a remote broadcast. We'll go out and stalk a Target.
We should. And if you catch someone who... didn't return it, they have to run it around the parking lot like 10 times. Yeah. If someone does return it, they get a star.
We just let April beat the crap out of him, given the guns I saw this morning.
Let's do it.
And she can handle it.
Let's do it. But Joe, you used to, when you were going to school, right, you would park away from your class as far as you could and walk to and from. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
For the exact same reasons we're talking here?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think if you can move, move. You know, I mean, we're always, I know we're in a hurry, but I see people who will wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes to get a spot, like up front. It's like I've already walked back and forth 10 times.
Well, and the other part of it is maybe one of the most stressful things you can do in Orange County is try to park in a parking lot.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, they're
dangerous.
They're tight. The cars are bigger. It's hard to, you know, like you said, and so there's maybe a mental health aspect to it. Just park to the easiest spot that you get.
Absolutely.
You don't have to stress out about looking for your spot. You get a little exercise in the process.
So absolutely.
You go from there.
And I understand. I mean, you know, it's just that the fact that, number one, I was in a parking lot right around the holidays, and it was really windy, and someone had left their cart, and I see it rolling and going right to T-Bone, another car, and I jumped out and, you know, grabbed. I'm like, you know, this is just irresponsible.
She's also a superhero. Did you hear
I
that?
Am.
Did you throw your cape on before you did that?
How did you know I had a cape? Jim, you've seen my
cape.
I have a cape. It's all sparkly. Yeah.
Yes.
So I just think, you know, it's a matter of, look, you have the time to walk it. I get you might have a kid, but move.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you're complaining that you can't lose weight, you can't do this. Move your body. Don't find the shortcuts.
Very nice.
Take the stairs instead of the elevator.
Take the stairs instead of the elevator.
Simple things.
Do you remember the Life's Little Instruction Book from years ago? It was the father wrote it to his son, and then they published it, and it's just this small book that's got about 100 little lessons that he wrote to his son as he went to college, and they made it into a book. And one of them was, if you're going to park, park at the first available spot. You could use the exercise, and you don't need the stress, and why waste time trying to wait for a closer spot?
I love that.
Yeah.
And that was one of the little instructions that he had given to his son.
Oh, I love that.
In addition to wearing boxers once in a while.
Now, are you a boxer guy, by the way?
Here we go.
Today I am.
Yeah.
Actually.
Do you typically wear boxers?
Not during the week.
Why not? Weekend?
I have this whole dichotomy in my life. You know, I try to stay between the lines Monday through Friday. boxer briefs.
Yeah.
You know.
Are you? But would you prefer boxers?
I probably would as a general proposition, but one thing I've discovered, and maybe Jill can comment on this, if you get older as a man, support becomes important.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. It does. Those drop as well.
I'm kind of into granny panties myself.
Here we go.
Just my thing.
You started it, Scott. You started.
How'd I start it?
Scott, boxers?
Oh, well, that was a natural extension of the conversation we were having, wasn't it?
Scott seems like a free-for-all kind of guy.
Free Willy.
Oh, I have a really funny story about that. Unless you want to go to a break.
No, go for it. Then we'll go to a break.
No, go to a break. It has to do with, just to tease it, it has to do with Commando.
Commando. All right, let's do a little music break, 1 minute musical break. April, are you ready for this? Getting off the phone for just a handy second.
A song.
Are you saying something about
Settle
the phone?
Down.
Phone?
Here we go.
Wait.
I'm Scott Hayes. This is OC Caravan on KX 93.5 FM, and we're leading out with a little 1 minute musical break. April. Nice. Ooh.
Underground, where
You're listening, KX93.5 FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This, of course, is OC Caravan. I still got a little congestion going on. I can't fight this little bugger. It's been over almost 2 weeks now.
Mine's still with me from right before New Year's. I mean, it's there a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel much better, but it seems to linger.
Yeah, so let's talk about going commando.
All right, so so I was talking about my involvement in the Mission Hospital Foundation Board. When I first joined the board, our chairman is a lovely gentleman, a great friend of mine named Ed Jordan, who recently, he was the chief financial officer for Nolet Spirits, the family that founded Kettle One, and great guy, longtime established CPA in Orange County, and just a wonderful man. So he hosts a poker party once a quarter. And I got invited right after I joined the board. And I'm like, you know, this is one of these things that, you know, you can network with these guys. And the group of guys, I didn't know anybody, but I figured there were people I should get to know. And so I asked my wife, can I go to the poker thing? Sure. It was a Friday night. We had football practice. So I told Ed I was going to be a little late. This was right in like August, September timeframe. So it was still daylight savings. I get there about 7:30. The sun had set. I'm trying to just blend in because I don't know anybody except Ed. I want to just blend in, be inconspicuous. So I go in. I see that my stack of chips is in the kitchen.
What's the ante?
It's a $60 buy-in.
All right.
It's easy, kind of low-stakes thing. So I go in, get my chips, grab a piece of pizza, come out. Hey, Ed's like, Jim, welcome out. Come on, sit down. I go, no, it's all right. I'll wait for the next hand. Can I get a drink? He goes, oh, yeah, the bar's over there. And he directs me to the other side, and it's totally dark out. So I slide past the poker table, and I go in, and I see there's a setup with a table. They've got some nice Nolet product. They've got some coolers. I don't want to drink too much, so I'm looking for a beer. So I'm opening coolers, and I see some mixers, and I can't tell what kind of beer's in there, and there's no light, and there's a light behind me shining. And so I go to move so that the light can go through, and I can see the beer. And as I step around the cooler, jacuzzi. Fell in, totally, nesty plunge into the jacuzzi, fully dressed, brand new iPhone in my pocket that I got that day.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I'm in underwater. And I'm floating. I'm like, I feel like Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate.
What a good first impression.
I start to hear Simon Garfunkel, hello, darkness, my old friend. And I'm just like, I cannot believe I'm underwater right now. And it was kind of warm. You know, it was sort of an embiotic feel. I was, you know, I was like, this is nice. And I get up, I'm like just shocked. And everyone's like, the whole party stops. There's 20 guys playing poker. And it's like, everyone looks like, who the heck just jumped in the pool? And they're like, what happened? I'm like, they were all there when it was light out, so they saw that there was a jacuzzi right next to the cooler. It was dark for me, so I didn't see it. The most shocking thing, when you step in and you feel that there's no terra firma and you're just down, it was just amazing. So anyway, I'm soaking wet, and I'm like, you know, I don't know anybody there. They're looking at me like I'm a nutcase. Ed's like, I feel so bad. I'm like, look, we'll roll with it. I go, do you have any sweats or anything upstairs? Yeah, let me go. And he goes and gets sweats. I take my clothes off. I give them to him. I go, put them in the dryer. By the time we're done, so I'm sitting in sweats. I got a T-shirt that he gave me and these sweatpants. And I'm, you know, just there playing. And we get through. And I ended up probably coming in fourth. I think I got my money back. It was fine. So about 10 o'clock, his wife comes home. And she's greeting everybody. She knows, oh, hi. I'd never met her before. She's like, oh, my gosh, I have those same sweats. I'm like, funny story. And I tell her the story, and she's looking at me like, who are you and why are you in my sweats? And then I go, would you mind? Ed had put my clothes up in the dryer. They're probably dry by now. I can change out. So she goes up and gets them. And as she's handing me my jeans and my shirt and my underwear that I'd put in there, at that moment she realizes, this guy's going commando in my sweats right now.
Oh, boy.
So she's like, and I take them off and I hand them back to her. She's like, no, you can keep them.
Hey, Jim, you are going to be fun to party with. We all need to have a party.
Yeah, sounds like a fun party.
Commando sweatpants party.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I love that story.
That's funny, man. Hey, so, you know, we got about 20 minutes here, and we're just trying to mix it up and change it around. And I've asked April to come to the table with some fun stuff. And April, talk to me.
Where I'm all over the fun stuff.
Yeah, where would you like to start right now?
Well, you suggested, actually, I can't take credit for this, that we play certain clips from certain songs and try to figure out the lyrics because they're not so clear.
Exactly.
So I like that idea.
Well, let's try one. Let's just see how it goes. We can all play. So we're going to play a clip from a song. And we're going to try to guess what the lyrics are. Hopefully somebody's got the lyrics. I mean,
I got the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
So
that's cool.
We'll definitely,
is there a prize?
No prize, but
you can get a Tito's handmade vodka cup.
Thank you.
You can go commando in my sweatpants.
Wow.
April. I don't know. Call me later. We'll talk about it.
We can go commando together. Okay, let's.
That's a great pickup.
Wait a minute. What's the first song? Do we know?
Oh, we got to say the name of it?
Yeah,
let's just play this quick.
All right.
You'll know once
we're going to try to guess the lyrics.
Wait, you gotta guess the lyrics on
this. Okay, that's Gypsy Kings.
That's just a joke.
Bambaleo.
I love that Bambaleo. I've seen them in concert. I love those guys.
I have too. At the Grove. It was awesome.
Oh, at the Grove? Yeah.
They're awesome.
That was a joke.
That was a good joke.
How about this one? So this is gonna be
closer to the mic.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hayes. Okay, so this is going to be American Girl by Tom Petty.
Oh, this is
American Woman!
No, different one.
This is good. So you're going to hear him say, it's all pretty clear that he says something about cold that night. It was kind of cold that night. So after you hear it was kind of cold that night, listen to the next line. All right. See if you can figure out.
This is classic. I always do this. I make up words.
I do too.
Me too. She was
an American girl. Great bass line, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of cold that night. She stood alone on a balcony.
Can you figure that out?
She stood alone naked over a fire.
That.
Jim, what do you think?
Not what I did last night, what the song said.
Oh, sorry. Jeez.
Can you play that again?
Yeah, let's do that again.
Sure, let's play that again.
I mean, I didn't. It sounded like it skipped to me.
Yeah, it did.
Don't mess with Tom.
Well, it was kind of cold that night. She stood alone on a balcony.
All right.
Jeez. I got no shot.
She stepped over coals of the fire of man.
She stood alone naked over a fire.
Wow. Jill's the closest.
What is it?
She stood alone on her balcony.
Oh.
On her balcony?
I want to hear that again.
There was no naked in there?
So she stood alone on her balcony.
Well, it was kind of cold that night. She stood alone on a balcony.
I get it.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
All right.
That was fun.
Take it easy, baby.
You got another?
Yeah, okay. So this one's Louie Louie, the Kingsman, which you can't really understand the entire song, but.
Yeah.
Do you even know what that first line is?
At tonight, at day, I run around naked.
Man. There's a lot of naked going on.
I don't know. I mean, when we're talking commando, that got me going.
Creeping me out.
I think it's by night and day, but then something else.
I play the fiddle all day.
Wow, we're learning a lot. Jill,
what
Scott.
Do you think?
Night and day, I'm naked.
Back to the naked for
Joe.
No. Okay, want to hear one more time or do you want to know what it is?
No,
let's know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. 3 nights and days I sail the sea.
What?
What?
Yeah,
play it again.
3 nights and days I
That's what it is.
Obvious.
Wow, way to go anyway, though.
Wait, who's the artist on that?
That was the Kingsman. Louie Louie.
What year was that?
1962.
No. No, later than that.
What year? Do you have it down?
I don't know. Let's see.
Oh, sorry for asking, but they're stoned, obviously. I mean, can't hear.
I don't have a year on that. If someone
62,
knows a year on
I don't
that,
know,
call,
maybe.
Call in.
All right.
The 60s were wild.
I wish we had a device that gave us information at the touch of a...
Yeah.
Like a cell phone.
So we have a song... Couple songs that you chose, Scott.
Yeah, pick the Stevie Nicks one.
Okay, so Gypsy, the one I played during the break.
Ooh, a tease. That was nice.
Do you have a certain line we want to pick out here?
I don't know.
So I'm back to the Velvet Underground.
Yeah, that one's pretty simple, I think.
You think it was simple?
Yeah.
That I love to a room with some legs and vapor flowers.
To a room with something legs and vapor flowers.
Well, but do you know this song already? Do
to
you know
the room with some lace.
A lace. Okay. Yeah, I had legs.
Paper flowers.
I wrote these down.
I said vapor flowers.
So I'm back to the Velvet Underground, back to the floor that I love, to a room with some lace and paper flowers back to the gypsy that I was.
Ooh, see, yeah. That's really cool. I love, and I thought vapor flowers. There we go. Everybody's
is it? No, it's not vapor.
No, I'm just saying I like vapor flowers.
I like
though.
That too. Yeah. So I'm going to write a song, that's like, Vapor Flowers, when I get home.
Psychedelic.
So yep. Back to Louie Louie, and yeah, you guys all doubting me.
Yeah.
The Kingsmen recorded it in 1963.
Oh.
And however, it was recorded first by Richard Berry in 1955 as a B-side to his single "You Are My Sunshine."
Well, and you knew all that when you said 62. So thank
well, I
you,
said
Jim.
62.
You did. You, golf clap for Jim, by the way. Golf clap for Jim. Very nice, Jim.
Somebody's calling in. My guess is that could only be Roger, but they're not calling anymore. So
maybe. Well, whoever's calling in, call back.
All right, we'll take you on a break. So
all right.
You want to do another one?
Yeah, let's try yes. Numb.
Numb.
This is fun.
I love this song by U2, by the way.
Okay,
but.
So Numb U2. Here we go.
Before?
Is this off Octung, baby?
Could be.
Sounds like that era of U2.
This is a one-note song. Turn up a little bit.
Don't move, don't talk, out of time, don't think, don't worry, everything's just fine.
I didn't get any of that.
I got it.
I had
little.
A lot of that. Okay. I just have
what'd
to
you
hear
get,
it again.
Jim?
So hear it again.
Down, I don't know. I have to listen to it again. Short-term memory loss. I had it. I think The Edge sings this one, by the way.
He does.
Don't move, don't talk, out of time, don't think, don't worry, everything's just fine.
Out of turn, don't, yeah.
Yeah, don't move, don't talk, something out of
don't
turn, everything's just fine.
You want to say what it is, Scott?
Don't move, don't talk, out of time, don't think, don't worry, everything's just fine, don't grab, don't clutch, don't hope for too
whoa,
much,
we didn't even
don't breathe, don't achieve, or grieve without leave, don't whisper, don't talk, don't run if you can walk,
Scott's
don't
a rapper.
Cheat, complete, don't what? Miss the one beat!
He's going to give Eminem a
I
run for his
I just remembered I do have his microphone button here.
Oh, you should
have cut me off. Too much right there.
No, that was good.
You know,
you two gone Eminem.
I love Eminem.
What up, what up?
I do.
Remember R.E.M.'s End of the World as We Know It?
That's yeah.
What I'm gonna try.
You want to try that one?
Let's see if I can find it.
All right, well, while you're looking, try the last one there. Keep on chuglin'.
That's awesome. Lil Fogerty. All right.
But my question here is, well, I'll ask after you hear it. Go.
Okay, here we go.
Know what that song's about, by the way?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Is that Creedence or Fogerty?
That's Creedence. Okay. I mean, Fogerty wrote it, but right. He wrote all their songs, right?
Yep.
Which I believe, by the way, one of the greatest songwriters ever, John Fogerty.
Hmm.
Number of hits that guy wrote.
I don't know. So are we going to find out what that's about?
Yeah, I'll tell you what it's about. Keep on chuglin', keep on chuglin', keep on chuglin', keep on chuglin'. By the way, guess the title of that song.
Keep on chuglin'?
Very good.
All right.
Nice. Maybe you don't understand it, but if you're a natural man, you've got to ball and have a good time, and that's what I call chuglin'.
Nice.
Yeah. You ever heard that song before?
No, I have not.
Isn't that interesting?
You know what that reminds me of, Scott?
What?
April and I were kind of talking about this. We were both students of yours, right?
Yeah.
And you would have the students pick out a song.
Yeah.
And write a paper on the,
and the lyrics.
About the lyrics meant. Yeah. That's a really good, I love that.
Yeah, I love that assignment. That's a fun one.
I never had that one when he was.
Well, you were 1B, right? You were the
I
critical thinking skills
class.
Well,
she should do it anyway now.
Yeah, I should. I'd like that.
Yeah, that's a different class. All right, what do you got, Jim?
Are
what's
you
going to
talk about chuglin'?
No, I'm over it.
Oh, well, Jill wanted to know.
I just told her. I read the lyrics.
Yeah, but did you say something about...
Well, chuglin' was a word he came up with. He made it up, John Fogerty. He wanted an expression that was like similar to the meaning of boogie and shuffling and rock.
No. God, thank God. I thought it was something else.
It is something else.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, but listen to the lyrics.
I asked him.
You did not... Look... Maybe you don't understand it, but if you're a natural man, you've got to ball and have a good time, and that's what I call chuglin.
Yeah, you've got to ball.
Sounds like a credo to live
my life
by.
You've got to ball in the 1970s meant that you basically wail on your guitar, you party, and you have a good time.
No, it does not. It means you're having sex, doesn't it?
No. Does it mean self-pleasuring?
No. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't mean self-pleasuring, does it?
Ball.
It doesn't mean anything like
that. Ball.
Good golly, Miss Molly. What's that about? Good golly, Miss Molly. Sure, like
that's irrelevant. We're moving away from the topic here.
Yeah, but the ball word is still there. All right, I'm over it.
All right, here we go. This is Jim's song.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane.
Sing it, Jim.
South turn world serves its own needs. Dummy serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox beat grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear.
Tied down height. In a combat site, Nestor was in a hurry with a fury breathing down your neck. You remember that song?
That's R.E.M.?
R.E.M., yeah. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Way to go, so, Jim. Nobody's going to get that one.
Everybody hurts sometime. They did that song, didn't they?
They did.
I love that song.
All right. We got that figured out.
All right.
Sort of. I mean, we're going to disagree on Chuglin.
They used to do... I can't remember if it was Kevin and Bean or Howard Stern, but they did What Is Jesse Jackson Saying? And well, they had the same thing. They'd take an excerpt from a speech. It's like, what the heck did he just say?
That's it. It's right. Yeah, my friend just messaged me. It's on 6:40 a.m. And it's called What the Heck Did Jesse Jackson Say?
Oh, that might have been John and Ken on KFI.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, they do that too.
Oh, okay.
That's
Thanks,
funny.
Mayor.
All right. Hey, we don't have any others, right, April?
I got some other stuff for music, but...
All right, let's do it. We got 10 minutes. Let's kill it with music.
Well, how about this? I have two different songs that you can choose one. We're going to kind of talk about the meaning of it, why it was written, what it means.
What are the two choices?
So, Police, Sting wrote Every Breath You Take.
Love that one.
Or James Taylor, Fire and Rain.
Let's go with
I like them both.
Police.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, let's go with the Police.
It's a fight between the 70s and the 80s. Both of our eras dueling it out right now, right?
That's true.
Exactly.
I like both songs.
I like both songs, too.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Let's
we're going to listen to a clip, and then we're going to...
Talk about it?
Talk about it.
All right.
Here we go.
Another great bass line.
Popular song, we all know it. I think one of their earlier hits. Great song. Even today, how many years ago was that written, by the way? What year was that? Did that come out? 83, here it is.
Right.
You know, 25.
Right. Was it 83?
Yeah, I'm trying to look down my notes. I should just know.
30 years later.
82?
30 years later, and that song still is relevant today. Don't you think? It never aged.
Absolutely.
So, one of those ageless.
Yeah, so Sting kind of pulled it all full circle when he went solo, and he wrote kind of a sequel to Every Breath You Take.
What was that?
I don't know the name of it. It's the Free, Set Them Free.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that a sequel?
Because what this song is about being a really possessive, controlling partner with someone.
Yeah.
Every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you.
Right.
You're so in love, it's almost
It sounds like
an
stalking.
Illness. It is. It's
but
kind
I
of
think
about,
you guys nailed that
Sting
one.
Can stalk me anytime.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think I'm right that's what this song is about. And then when he does Free, Set Them Free, it's like if you love someone, set them free. So he kind of comes full circle, realizes if you really love someone, you got to set them free because if love is true, they'll come back to
My
you.
My girlfriend
I love that concept.
She thinks it's about the government watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Well, they are watching you, by the way. Yeah. The government is watching you.
It's like that movie with Mimi Rogers and Tom Berenger, Someone to Watch Over Me.
Oh.
Well, I love that song, by the way, and
I
that's interesting.
Too.
And do you know for a fact that he came full circle on the Free song?
I don't think I'm making that up. I think I saw it on a Behind the Music or...
Right.
Something on A&E or...
Are you a musician yourself, by the way?
No.
Do you play guitar, piano? Do you sing?
Yeah, I,
You're a dancer. I know that.
Yeah. No, I actually, we have a piano in the house, and I've threatened to learn, and
I have a guitar, and I've threatened to learn. Wait, I can do a little bit, a couple of really, really minor, silly things.
Yeah.
But I'd always love to do that.
You should.
I know.
I mean, because you love music, right?
Absolutely.
And you sort of are entrenched in it growing up, yeah. It sounds like.
Right. So I'd rather be a DJ, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's just do one Saturday with you DJing.
Okay.
You just, you know, you pick your music. We can talk in between songs. Oh, sorry.
What do I do?
You're still engineering. You're still the music.
Well, no, we'll partner up. We'll co-produce it because I need April's talents.
Yeah. All right, we got Fire and Rain.
Are we talking any more about that?
Yeah, what do you know? Well, yeah.
Well, you pretty much nailed it anyway. But the biggest misconception is that that's a sweet love song. I mean, it's played at, like, thousands of weddings, and people just think it's a love song. Like, it's a gentle love song. It's not. So he wrote it during his divorce. And he said it's about love, but it's sinister and ugly, and that it was about the collapse of his marriage and feelings of jealousy and obsession over his lost lover. And
wow.
Yeah, so he said it.
Can't you see you belong to me?
Yeah. It's got a stalker-like
vibe. My poor heart aches with
every
step
you take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought this was funny. One couple told him that they played it at their wedding, and he said, good luck, he told him. So anyway, they thought it was a love song.
Yeah, I like that. All right, let's go Fire and Rain by James Taylor. I got a sense of this one myself.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus?
You gotta help me make a stand.
I'll
take it. I think I know this one.
Take it.
I think this has to do with heroin addiction and a process he went through where he was suffering from a heroin addiction, and he was in a, not a mental institution, but some sort of recovery type program, and he was writing this song to sort of a woman who was in the same environment and found herself in the same sort of addiction process that he found himself in. Jim, what do you think?
I think he was in at Universal Studios taking a tour where you go through the fire and then there's rain in the next thing. Is that right?
It'd be funny if that were true.
Is that right?
Maybe right.
I thought I saw him on an interview once. Maybe it was the Tonight Show. I'm not sure.
Jill, any thoughts on this one?
I agree with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, totally.
Scott's definitely closest on that one.
Hey.
But there's actually, it's written for three different parts and areas of his life. And the first part was his friend Suzanne, if you listen to that line, Suzanne, and the plans we made, put an end to it, whatever. So his friend Suzanne died when they were young while Taylor was in London. And so the first part is kind of about her tragic death. The second part's about Taylor's struggle to overcome drug addiction and depression. And the third part deals with him coming to grips with fame and fortune and basically the road that got him there. So it's in three part, but a lot of people's misconception of the song is that it's about the girlfriend that died in a plane crash, because that line, flying machines in pieces on the ground.
That was a band, wasn't it?
It was actually his band, yes, that broke up, and he was very devastated about it. And that particular line has to do with that band and it not being successful like he had intended. But people thought it was about his girlfriend and her death in the plane crash, and it really had nothing to do with that. So just goes to show that there's these misconceptions out there about what these songs are about, and they're totally different.
I like this take on the Legends of Rock,
by the way.
Yeah, thanks. Nice job on that. Really nice job. It mixes it up really nicely. And, you know, funny thing about songs, too, you were talking about, you know, Every Breath You Take, playing at weddings and such. You know, oftentimes it's not just about the intentions of the writer, but the interpretations of the listener as well, you know. And so that's all part of the sort of the process of why we love music.
Right.
I mean, if we wanted to go and kind of nitpick every song that we liked and figure out, you know, what was the intention of the writer behind the song, we'd have a far different impression. But sometimes it's just what we kind of receive.
That's why music's just so beautiful.
Yeah,
it works for everybody.
Yeah.
That's true. Good point, April.
I love that. Hey, we'll have to bring this one back. I love that. Nice job. All right, we're running out of time. By the way, golf clap. OC Caravan airs 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon Sundays. That's 8 p.m. tonight, 12 noon tomorrow, reaching 240,000 Cox TV cable subscribers in all of Orange County and Palos Verdes. And tonight and tomorrow is our tribute to Hobie Alter. And Jim just reminded me that next week is our interview with UCLA basketball standout, NBA player, John Vallely.
Yep.
Which is a great show. So, all right. This is KX93.5 FM. I'm Scott Hayes.
Happy birthday, John.
Happy birthday
to your son. Have a great time tonight, Jim.
All right.
You're listening to OC Caravan, and we'll see you next week. April, take us out with a little music, please.